Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 6th of May, recording at 9:28 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. In terms of stock markets, the Asian markets are quietly steady, although the Hang Seng Index, I notice, had a 2.5% gain, nearly. The European stock markets started off a little bit subdued in the minus column for the most part, but then rallied as Wall Street opened steady and extended its gains. So Europe closed with gains mostly under 2%, but that's on top of the strength that we've already seen, of course. So an impressive performance. And Wall Street closed down near the highs of the day, with the Dow up over 8,500, up 101 points. These are all gains of sort of 1.25%. 1.74% for the S&P 500, closed up at 919.5. The NASDAQ performance was subdued, up just a tiny fraction. And elsewhere, long-dated government bonds. Well, I haven't even looked at those today, but not surprisingly, they're a little bit easier against the background of this continued stock market strength, now in its ninth week and ninth consecutive week. And the US dollar has eased a little bit in here today, particularly against the Antipodean currencies, but it's also eased against the Japanese yen. Precious metals had another fairly solid performance in here. Gold is trading after hours at 910.65. Silver is currently at 1369, and it has been a higher on that. Platinum's up a little bit as well, says palladium. All the industrial metals are up. Strong gains there. Copper up nearly 11 cents. But say right across the boards, they're strong. And the agricultural commodities, less spectacular, but I think they're all on the upside here today. The only one that I saw that was down was cocoa, down just slightly. Okay, and energy, I see we have crude oil was strong, 56.27, and natural gas. Excuse me, also strong, 388. Okay, so what's going on here? Well, I've described this repeatedly as the greatest attempted asset reflation, worldwide asset reflation in human history. No hyperbole in that. We haven't seen anything like this in terms of so much monetary stimulus, fiscal stimulus, and going back to the monetary stimulus, massive quantitative easing by so many central banks in their efforts to stave off what people feared not all that long ago was going to be a deflationary depression. Well, the greatest attempted asset reflation in human history is certainly meeting with some success. Now, I know people have often said in recent months that the banks won't lend, they're just hoarding cash, and that the customers can't borrow or don't want to borrow. Well, that money's got to go somewhere, as we've repeatedly stated, and stock markets are proving to be one of the favored vehicles. Again, people would say, how can that actually be when the economic news is so bad and there's so much uncertainty over corporate profits? Well, the economic news, as we pointed out, is getting less bad, and therefore that's an improvement in overall perceptions. Also, while the corporate profits have been dire, we know that companies have been slashing overheads. So as we come out of this severe global recession, a lot of companies, or leading companies, I should say, are going to be leaner and fitter as a consequence to profit from whatever recovery does unfold. Now, again, it's fashionable for people to say that, well, in the OECD countries, the recovery will be very faltering and may even be snuffed out if central banks move against the inflationary pressures and start to draw in all that liquidity. Well, I've also made the point that once central banks begin to tighten monetary policy again, that will be risky. But that's not going to happen this year. And it may not happen for a fair while. We just don't know. We'll have to see. But in the meantime, this remains a very attractive environment for asset classes generally. Now, I have also mentioned that this rally, now in its ninth consecutive week, is looking overextended on most charts. And therefore, we are becoming increasingly susceptible to a reaction and consolidation of overall gains. But that's the small picture. Any reaction that does occur, and a reaction will occur, first, how would we know? Well, I think it's got to be signaled by a downward dynamic that also encounters some follow-through that on the second day. And we haven't seen that so far. We saw a downward dynamic by some of the leading markets, some one-day key day reversals. I think it was early last week or the week before that. But markets just shrugged that right off, and we had a shallow reaction, and then they resumed their advances with Asia to the fore. And the really important development is that so many stock markets have taken out previous resistance levels on the way up. And if you look at the Asian stock markets, if you look at so many of the resources markets, you see very nice symmetrical type 3 base formations. And some of the more advanced rallies, such as we see with China, that you see a clearly established overall upward trend, and those moving averages will be turning upwards. I'm talking about now the 200-day or 40-week moving average. Those will be turning up in the next month. They're a lagging indicator, of course. But an increasing number of stock market indices have broken above those 200-day moving averages, including, incidentally, the NASDAQ in the USA. So this is a very, very impressive performance. And this is not at all consistent with a bear market rally, in my view. First, it's been too big, it's been too orderly, it's been too persistent. And the final confirmation that this is not a bear market rally will, of course, be after we get a reaction and consolidation, and then stock markets regroup and push on to new recovery highs. And I'm pretty confident that that will happen. Now, I talked about those symmetrical-looking balanced base formations in a number of the Asian stock markets and also in resources stock markets, which have been leading the move on the upside, along with the technology-weighted markets such as Sweden and technology-weighted indices such as the NASDAQ. Now, elsewhere, though, some of these European indices, and certainly the S&P 500 and the Dow for the USA, they do not have these same sort of symmetrical-looking base formations by virtue of the fact that they were reaching new lows as little while ago as early March, and before then, and staging this consistent and persistent technical rally. So we may well see a bigger pullback there and more lengthy ranging phase overall, just to add a little bit more base formation support as part of the longer convalescence. There's nothing sinister in that, no hedge in that forecast. It's just that those patterns aren't so good. So what does that mean overall? Well, what we felt all along, that one wants to be participating in the leaders, and fortunately those leaders our Fuller Money themes and all the way. Now, what else to mention here? Long-dated government bonds. I think that the only way we're going to get a rally is in that next reaction and consolidation in global stock markets, and it may not be that much of a rally because a consensus is growing that a pullback will be a buying opportunity in stock markets. I certainly agree with that. And therefore, they look like shorts, although government support buying may make them tricky shorts here in the short and possibly medium term. The only way I could see long-dated government bonds being a good investment would be if I'm way wide of the mark and all these reflationary efforts are failing and we're going to see a significantly deeper and longer recession. Well, it may be long, but I think it's becoming less deep, and so I just do not like this environment for the long-dated government bonds, as you know. I like stock markets, led by Fuller Money themes. I also like commodities, led by, the precious metal sector has done extremely well, but also the base formations developing on the industrial metals are very clear to see. And also the base formation for crude oil and some of the agricultural commodities. So basically, I like stock markets favoring Fuller Money themes, and I like commodities. I find the industrial metals or the industrial commodities, I have a preference for those. They led in 2003 and earlier, and they're leading, I believe, in this cycle overall. So I think there's lots to go for there. If anything, I'm regretting my own timidity at times, coming out of some of my metal positions too quickly. Now, what about gold and silver? This is an impressive performance by silver. It's still in a trading range, sort of really between just below the $12 level on the downside and just above the $14 level on the upside. And we're looking at the upper side of this range here right now. And this is the fourth time we've seen silver bounce off that $12 level. I think this is a consolidation. What we need to see to confirm that would be a sustained break above the $14 level. Now, some of us sold silver last year on that final run to the highs above $20, and I think it got as high as $22 very briefly. So this does not look expensive to me at sort of 13 and three-quarter dollars. And gold was the outstanding relative performer from October into February. And I think that's a indication that we will see some medium-term strength here as well. How can that possibly be when the end of the world Armageddon temporary buyers have been drifting away from gold, and gold is also experiencing some increased competition from other assets such as stock markets and industrial commodities, as we pointed out? And my answer to that is that really people don't trust paper currency, and I don't think that's going to change. I've got an item that I've produced, an article from the Financial Times, and my comment on that here today. So I think this consolidation is taking place, and that it will create a launch platform for the next overall upside move. I don't want to get carried away in terms of upside forecasts. As a matter of fact, I don't like to make forecasts except to say what I think is bullish and what looks good and where I'd like to be and where I am in terms of market positions overall. But I'm very happy to hold gold. I hold more silver because that's leading and it tends to perform as high beta gold. And I'm also holding platinum. I bought a little bit more platinum in here today, partly because I missed the copper and I missed the nickel, having taken profits previously, and I say I'm regretting my timidity in not having repurchased them when they saw those downward corrections, because they're certainly very firm here today. And we'll be looking for another entry point in those markets. So interesting times. A lot to go for here overall. I think the dollar is still vulnerable among the major currencies. But remember, currencies range most of the time. But I am positioned lightly short of US dollars. And that's it for another very interesting day in the markets. So all the very best to all of you.